Welcome to the Nerd Party.
I'm Darren Moser.
I'm Philip Gilfus.
I'm Daniel Prue.
And this is City Alpha 3.
Hello and welcome to City Alpha 3, a Star Trek podcast here on the Nerd Party Network. I'm Darren Moser and am joined, as always, by my two fellow strandees on this planet that we just made up. Lots of things being made up. Philip and Daniel, how has your Trek week been? Starting that alphabetized list, Daniel? Wait, no, that was last year. That was or
last
the year before.
Yes, definitely. Not 4 years ago.
No.
That was definitely last year.
Four of your Earth years.
You know, we talked last week quite extensively about the Armin Bashir. And, man, what an episode. It's impactful. It's important. It's got a lot of things to say. Then we watched the next episode of Deep Space Nine, which is one that I didn't even remember, and I don't even know how it ends. Odo gets a girlfriend that's in the, she's an Orion Syndicate agent. And, see, I don't remember either.
That sounds like a Lower Decks episode synopsis, not a DS9 episode synopsis.
And we're halfway through it, and I honestly don't even remember the beginning of it either, because it's very, very dull. It is the opposite end of the spectrum. It doesn't feel like an episode in mid-season 5 of Deep Space Nine. It feels like a season 1 episode or something. But
is it almost like In Theory from TNG when Data gets a girlfriend?
Yeah. Well, no. She's just flirty. I guess it's not because he actually has a girlfriend. Here, she's just flirty with Odo. Tell him in the beginning of the episode, she tells him he has bedroom eyes.
I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. So
he's like, I could change my eyes to be whatever you want. Do you want giant anime eyes? Do you want no eyes?
Now, what is in the obviously the Kira Odo will they won't they friend style thing? At what point in your watch is the Kira Odo relationship? Has he admitted? Has she? What's going on?
I think.
Well, I know where it is by the time you get to me, where I'm at season 6, episode 9. But go ahead, Daniel.
I think Shakar's still around. I'm pretty sure. So she's technically with him. She does encourage him to pursue it. And she also kind of indicates that she also thinks he has bedroom eyes. So she flirts with him a little bit, but then tells him to go for it. So I think she's still with Shakar. I think Shakar's still alive. I don't remember him dying, but he's also kind of boring. So
her boyfriend is so memorable, we can totally remember if he is alive or dead.
Yeah, he's running something on Bajor, I think. But
First Minister.
Yeah, well, you know, the government. Yeah. so my drop-in season 6 rewatch got through, you know, Sacrifice of Angels, so amazing. I actually skipped Cordially Invited just because, I mean, I'll watch it again, but I remember the story already, and I mean, our TNG friends are not invited, so I didn't really want to go in protest. Resurrection was interesting. It's the Beryl shows up from the Mirror Universe. Very interesting because we don't actually go to the Mirror Universe. It's very like, you know what, guys, we're still recovering from that budget we spent in Sacrifice of Angels 2 episodes ago, so don't go anywhere. Don't do anything. Just chill. It's like 5 cast members are in this episode. It's very, very small.
Is this the writer's challenge of like, no, we can make Beryl interesting?
Yeah, we just have to make an evil jerk, sort of, and give him Norb experience. But shocker, he tries to steal it. But statistical probabilities was interesting. That's the one with the other genetically engineered people, and they're like, we need to surrender because more people will die if we don't. And it's like, that's a statistical. It's like, what are you talking about? So that one was good.
And then, I remember, you know, what you're talking about. Yeah.
They showed their math, so it's okay.
They did. I mean, they first right. They had a, like, you know, they helped with the negotiations, but it was interesting. And, you know, I think personally, I like it better than the other genetically engineered crew visit episodes, but
well, that's a stupid thing to say.
Yeah. but no, that's they're well acted. they, you know, they get a great use of that cargo bay set, man. They're like, here, we're going to live here. And, you know, I stopped just shy of watching The Magnificent Ferengi. I just decided to stop while I was ahead. And
that's a good one.
But no, I've been enjoying it. And yeah, it's, I mean, it's, gosh, it's, the assignment is just so good. Not that we never said that it's not good, but it's really good, guys. yeah, what about you, Philip? What DS9 episodes have you been watching?
Yeah, I've
been
really watching Star Trek.
Some best episodes of Star Trek, guys.
Oh, I mean, that's
so jealous of what I'm watching.
I had in my Facebook timeline, it popped up with the season 2 trailer. And I'm like, such hopes, such dreams. But
yeah, I'm rewatching Star Trek Picard season 2. Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know. I mean, I think the season's trash, but people don't, that's fine. But yeah, I'm only on, just finished episode 2, which episode 2 is fine. I just felt like it was a waste of time, but I mean, the episode itself is fine. That's just, here's the alternate future. I'm like, that we will matters to nothing. We're just showing it to you.
Yeah, but I mean, it's fun. You know, I mean, Star Trek people like alternate futures and crazy evil counterparts, and
then we're gonna do alternate past for the rest of the
well, whatever.
But anyway, yeah, I won't go into it.
I grant you on what you're saying about it doesn't really matter, but it doesn't matter that it doesn't matter. It's just a thought experiment, which is what we do as podcasters. So,
but like if you in a regular episode of Star Trek, if you go into a crazy alternate future. Then you like have a complete story told in that adventure. So there's a reason that you go there. You learn something from the experience, and then it's done. In something like Picard, it's like just a stopgap. It's like,
that's true. There's still the mystery. Yeah. It doesn't
go
away.
Wouldn't it be funny if Seven was president? Wouldn't it be funny if Picard was a bloodthirsty general? Wouldn't it be funny if we and but anyway, guys, enough of that funny stuff.
But that was a fever dream. Episode 3. So forget about episode 2. It doesn't matter. It has nothing to do with the rest of the season. It's fine.
I mean, just from like a budget perspective, like again, episode 2, it's fine. But like and it's, you know, all this intricate, like the Picard skull collection. It's all very intricate, and you know, so much work was put into it. And but it's like, we could have spent that money somewhere. Like it kind of reminds me of episode 1.
We don't need to spend it somewhere else because we're just going to Earth of the past.
Los Angeles.
That's where so much money.
We blew all our money on building a Stargazer that we used for an episode or half an episode, maybe an episode if you count the last one. And then Picard's murder drone. And the first 2 episodes blew the entire budget. And after that, it was like, what can we do in a block from now?
Let's do car chases. Yeah, let's do that.
Let's do a bus in the middle of the desert. Can we do that? That's probably, anyway. But on better Star Trek news, I did a bunch of stuff. I got myself a little Strange New Worlds command top. I'm not usually a big TOS era uniform guy, but I decided to go ahead and do that. So I got the nice gold captain sleeves. And then I was, you know, being a nerd and organizing my Star Trek collectible cards collection. I have a couple series, so that was kind of cool to see what I was missing and so whether I want to spend the rest of my days filling that gaps or not. But yeah, so you know, we're counting down the days till Picard season 3, I guess.
Well, you know, we're all super completionists, so definitely complete all those cards. No, we just do whatever we want. But
Philip, has your season 2 Picard delayed your Enterprise rewatch? Is that what's happening afterwards?
Yeah, I guess I'll probably do season 2 Picard begrudgingly. And then by that time, it'll be season 3 Picard, which I can do both, you know. Because I'm also rewatching, as I've mentioned earlier, last week, Ninth Doctor. That's going to be sort of there's not that many episodes. So that I'll watch. That's sort of my palate cleanser from watching Voyager, you know, a whole series of Voyager. So then I'll probably move on to Enterprise after that. But and non-fantasy sci-fi nerd watching, I'm on my third country's version of a show. The Traitors. I don't know if you've heard this. It's a reality show. But I watched the UK version. Then my wife and I just finished watching the U.S. version on Peacock. We didn't watch it on Peacock, but that's where it is in the U.S. And now, before the recording, we just started the Australian version, which I think is actually the first one. I think it's Australia, U.K., U.S. So, anyway.
Well, and I'm trying to think of another type of show that has three or four different countries' versions. I mean, besides like do. The, as I say, I mean, the reality Survivor. Show is the easy, easy
Big
one.
Brother has Big Brother Canada, Big Brother US.
The Office has like 8,000 different versions.
That's true. But we all know which is the best.
That's right. Take that, Great Britain.
All right. I wasn't going to say it, but so today we are going to have another thought experiment, as we often do. No, the Dominion War is not going to end with billions of casualties. It's not that kind of a dreary thought. But no, I, you know, enjoy a lot of different sci-fi, and one of the shows I've been enjoying fairly recently, not super recently, but in the last couple of years, was Battlestar Galactica, made by Ronald D. Moore of Trek fame. I'm sure that's why he got the contract.
And, so say we all.
And one of the key differences in that universe is that they don't
robots.
They do have robots. Oh, okay. But another key difference in that universe is they have silence. No, we're not talking about silence. We're talking
about a working political system that you can actually see the elections.
They don't have shields. They have armor. Sometimes it's plot armor. Sometimes it's real armor. But usually, those ships take a beating. And I guess they like repair it sometimes a little bit. But really, it's like if you're shot at, you're kind of in trouble. The main purpose is to defend your carrier ship from being hit, because it's so bad when it does.
Not to go into that whole series, but I don't know if this is purposeful or just convenient, because, you know, in Battlestar Galactica reboot, we just mean the reboot, Battlestar Galactica, you know, they are losing, what do you call it, the fighters? They're losing.
Oh, what are they called?
Anyway, you know what they are. They're losing their fighters.
Vipers?
Yeah, the Vipers. Vipers.
Well, yeah, two different kinds, but yeah, Vipers. So yeah. You're losing Vipers, obviously, just as the series goes on. And then when the Ensign
Battlestar
Rowe.
Galactica. Yeah.
No, when Ensign Rowe's ship.
Oh, the second ship? Yeah.
Pegasus. The Pegasus.
They take those. Like, we've resupplied.
Yeah, resupplied cool by taking from another ship.
But they do keep, I mean, I know it's CGI, but they do keep, because you can see a mix between the new ones and old ones that they use.
Yeah.
So it is legitly, you see it.
And I think, in our postulation, we're in CGI era. I mean, it could be whatever series we want to talk about, but like we can say like the technology is there and to do. Yeah. Well, I'm saying like obviously we know for practical reasons why shields were invented. Like it's a easy way to say our ship is hurt. Yeah, shields are at 10%. And it like, you know, it tells the story without visually changing the very expensive model that we spent a lot of money on that we can't really change. So that's what I'm saying is, yeah, so Battlestar Galactica was a CG model, so it could have season one model, season two model, season three, and you see the progression of the damage. I think we'll be talking a lot about Voyager in that regard. But in this postulation, like we can do it any series, but it's or talk about them in general, but I'm just saying we're not limited by the practical applications of it's a model and we can't actually change it.
But can I throw something out? And this may be a tangent, but not really. So I know Voyager, we always give.
No Doctor Who. I don't care.
We always say like, Voyager. They should have showed. What about DS9?
No.
Like the station itself. I mean, it's Cardassian and it was junked up at the beginning of the series, you know, when the Cardassians left.
Brian talks about making a lot of changes, but they're only internal, apparently, because the outside never changes.
Like, I know there's one or two episodes where, like, they blew a pylon, and the next episode they're repairing it. But, like, I feel like it should be much more, like, not as uniform as, like, this. It's all pristine on the outside. Like, it should be, like, some is really good and some is bad and some blows apart every now and then. And, you know, it's that same guy or girl in the beginning of the title, you know. In their little suit, fixing whatever, you know.
Now that could be interesting.
It's actually kind of an interesting idea, though, because if say in one episode they lost the pylon, right?
Right.
And they did, just obviously because it's the model. Obviously, we know why. Budget and whatever.
They blew up another model. Yeah.
But in the universe, would they replace that model exactly as, or sorry, the pylon as, exactly as it was? Like with like the Cardassian
You're arguing for the hoopty version of Deep Space Nine where like one pylon's like pink and the other one is...
Well, one would be like Federation style. You know what I mean? Like with that sort of...
I would say they would...
Design...
Bajoran. Probably have it look... Yeah, maybe a little Bajoran-ish, but the technology would try to be as similar as possible. Because again, now you're interfacing like a chunk of Federation station and a chunk of, you know, Cardassian station. We all know those systems love talking to each other.
See, but that would have been funny. I mean, as much as O'Brien, poor O'Brien, but like he has like three different systems that have to talk to each other, like Bajoran, Cardassian, Federation.
No, I like that idea. I mean, also in the when the Dominion takes over DS9 in the end of season 5, they focus on one part of the outer docking ring and blow it up. Like there's a gap in the docking ring, which isn't there by the next season because I guess, you know, time has passed. But that would be, I mean, I would say leave that. Leave a chunk out of the, and then you're like, okay,
just put up
now,
some tape or something.
No, no, but like, or maybe you have like a couple of thin girders like being redone, but it's obviously not a functional space. And so then you could have, you know, it's like every time you see a shot of the station after that, you know, oh, I'm in season 6 because the giant chunk of the outer ring is gone. And you can even put it into dialogue where like, oh, well, we have to take the turbo lift this way because we can't, we got to go the long way around to get to pylon 3. Nobody likes pylon 3 anymore because it takes forever to get there.
Like not to overthink it, but in
our job, Philip,
when, Sisko and Co. abandon the station and they, and I'm hand quoting, blow it up.
Like, yeah, he has his Cisco program that fries all the internals in the ops, at least.
Why not some of the externals? Like, I mean, I know he doesn't want to blow up his station because he's going to come back. But, like, it should have been, like, you know. And then I'm wondering, where's the Dominion resupply? Because I know Bajor has, like, a non-alignment, but, like, do they have a trade agreement? Because they're like, we're not supplying
you.
I mean,
but they're also still, like... rebounding from the occupation, so they're not exactly like a giant production facility. But I see what you're saying; like it's the closest planet.
But if Bajor is not supplying them, and the wormholes mined,
right?
I mean, then they got to wait for like you know the Cardassia to.
I mean, it's got to come from Cardassia, which isn't that
far.
It's the whole point is that it's close to Cardassia.
Yeah,
I think it would have been interesting another method of his. Leaving would be, I'm just picturing, you know, Rom or somebody adding some sort of like, you know, plastique around the edge of all of those rolling airlocks, and then they trigger it, and it like melts the airlock into like a single. Imagine every single one of those wheels in the station physically. Like, yeah, I mean, and now you have to, and now it's not an airlock anymore. So you literally have to replace it with another airlock or you can't dock any ships. That'd be a good middle finger to Dakot.
They just left a bunch of Home Alone traps for the Dominion when they come in.
I mean, we all know way
more. Paint cans coming down the front.
Everyone, yeah. I'm just picturing them hitting the Jem'Hadar and they go, oh, and then they fall on their backs. And
it's just, you know, they're ice not hurt on the turbo lift floors.
Someone goes to reach for the, or Dukat reaches for the door button to open up his office and it's red hot.
It's all hot.
Although he's Cardassian, so he's like, oh, it feels nice. It doesn't.
Jake just throws bricks at them from the.
I mean, I didn't think we were going to be talking about Home Alone on Deep Space Nine when I started this conversation, but here we are.
Keep the change, you filthy animal.
he's playing back.
The holodeck.
He's playing back his dad's messages on the screen to try to make Dukat think that Sisko hasn't left, but it's all like patchwork discussions. Okay, well, that's not what we're talking about.
But we will next week penciling in Home Alone.
I don't know. I feel like we've already fleshed out 90% of what that episode would be in the last 2 minutes. Okay, so that's Deep Space Nine. And this episode has kind of morphed into what if things were destructible, which is totally fine. I mean, that's kind of where our podcast goes sometimes. So Okay, so now we have the obvious, you know, starship in the room. You have Voyager, where you have this ship that is cut off, you know, doesn't have a self-replicating hull or any crazy... I mean, maybe they could give it that if the writers so deemed. But I'm at least thinking of... I mean, not talking about Year of Hell, which we all know is kind of self-contained like that when we do see damage happen. But I'm more thinking of like when deck 15 blows, or deck 12, one of those decks, like the whole deck blows up and you see it from the outside. Like that's major damage. Or was that in Year of Hell too?
I want to say it's Year of Hell, but
okay,
I feel like at some point some deck was attacked.
Yeah.
Lots of decks.
yeah. Or just,
well like the, it's a season two. It's pretty early. I don't want to say season
where they land and do repair work.
No, where's the two Voyagers? And the messed up one is the one that ends up surviving, and the nice Voyager ends up self-destructing because the Vidians come aboard. That's where Harry dies.
Oh, that's right.
But that's the messed up Voyager ends up, because it's damaged from the proton blast or whatever.
Up. Yeah.
But I mean, that would have been some major repair work.
Well, it kind of makes you think of E-squared in Enterprise, where you had that was more of like a future Enterprise that had been through a lot. But what do you think, Daniel?
I did like that you had to think. E-squared. What is that? Which series it starts with?
I knew exactly which one it was. But what do you think, Daniel, about Voyager? I mean, I know it's the low-hanging fruit, but like, would you like to have seen them incorporate other technologies from like Borg or, you know?
They did that in that one episode, remember? That one?
No, I know, but I mean, in a grander scale.
Yes, of course. Yeah, I mean, of course. I mean, that's kind of the promise of the show. The promise that the premise of the show brings is like this sort of evolving, like kind of like a ship of Theseus sort of thing. Like at the end of it, it's just even...
You're right.
You could go that far with it. Like, this looks nothing like Voyager when it left. But it turns out it looks exactly like it did when it left. But yeah, you would want constantly like, oh, well, you know, we shut off, you know, we closed access to this deck. You know, maybe we don't even have the resources to repair it after it got destroyed or whatever, right? Like that sort of, that level of continuation, and like, it doesn't have to be all, like you could still repair things. Just, yeah, like make it take, you know, half a season or, you know, like five episodes or something.
And I know like Voyager eventually got into CGI models, but I think it would have been even worth it in the beginning where they have, and I know the practical applications again of reusing stock footage and whatnot, but that aside, I think it would have been interesting to have season to season. Like you put a little bit of your budget to reworking the Voyager model over the course of the season, so that in season two, Voyager, you know, it's got that red stripe on the side because they had to bolt a whole bunch of plates from a Malon freighter or something on them. Like, you know, and so each year you have like the degradation of Voyager and how it looks a little more worse for wear and a little more dinged up. And, oh, we had a narrow shuttle, but we had to rip it out because that one blast blew up.
All right, Millennium Falcon.
Or what about like you could even do internal stuff too, Warp Core. Like why not like one
or
episode,
the bridge?
Like, yeah, or the bridge. Yeah, but I'm thinking like the episode where they eject the Warp Core. What if they like the next episode they literally had to go find they've been constructed.
Voyager has two Warp Cores. I mean, nobody ever talks about it, but
but just a quick thing: they ejected the Warp Core twice in that series. I just remember doing my rewatch, which is like twice more than we've seen any other. So it was very interesting because yeah, the one you always talk about, Darren, with the Doctor playing Saboteur, secret agent,
right?
They kick it off in that one, and then there was another one I can't remember. I just remember it happening like for the second time, going, "Oh my gosh, we've seen it two times in a series," complaining we never see it.
Well, and you could have more diverse shuttles, you know, that are like they ground a Frankenfleet together of like just any shuttle they can come across because they know like we're losing shuttles faster than we're replacing them, we're not going to have any shuttles eventually.
It does remind me of, and I blame DS9 for this first, but I get why they do it, but it's still annoying. The Defiant exploded. Next episode. Here's your new Defiant.
We're building another one, you know, just like Death Star 2. Yeah, I know.
But in Voyager, the Delta Flyer gets destroyed by the Borg at the end of season 6.
Right.
And then two episodes later in season 7, they're
the Delta Flyer 2. Yeah.
Glad we rebuilt the Delta Flyer. I'm like, okay. I mean, like, mid-season 7, but not like
okay, two we know if later. Ronald D. Moore was piloting Voyager, that we would not have as much continuation of these things.
But I'm Darren, as you're talking, I'm thinking we did have a series, kind of, without Shields, and that is Enterprise. I mean, oh yeah.
I mean, polarizing the whole, yeah.
But like, what is that? I mean,
No, you're right. And, and Enterprise does get good marks for, like, Minefield, which leads into the Space Dock episode where it gets fixed because they need that. And I know we were talking about Voyager, but in the grander scheme, if you had a world with no Shields, only armor, I think you would have a lot more space docks everywhere, you know, because you'd have your the Federation would only really maintain its presence by having repair yards in every major planet because ships would be needing it.
Yeah, I mean, and I think Enterprise 2, I mean,
Enterprise Squared.
A show?
Yeah.
Well, no, I'm just thinking, because again, I'm you know, that series, I don't want to beat up on it. It had such a hard time, you know, poor little kid. But like, that almost really should have been, and I know in some fantasy world it would have been, but like, you could see season to season because they were upgrading it. Now, theoretically, right. They did upgrade it, but we just like, because like, when they add the new phasers or when they add photon torpedoes in season 2, like, maybe
now, those upgrades are really things they should have had before they left Space Dock. But yes,
but I mean, you should appreciably see, because again, if it's CGI, why does it matter? I mean, I know it's work still involved. I'm not saying it isn't, but like, you know, something about the torpedoes part changes.
Right.
I mean, I know, like, oh, eventually in Drug Drexler's fantasy world, you would have seen the refit that looks like
right, and we would have seen that in the next season. I think you could have, or even even in the, you know, titular Space Dock episode where it gets repaired, I think that chunk should look different. It should be made of different materials. Like, even if it's a, like, the fact that they, oh my gosh, it magically repaired it to look exactly like it was. Like, really? Alien technology? That's
I'm going to see the part where, like, the magic star dock is, or space dock is repairing, and Archer's on the shuttle doing an inspection, like, that's like gray number 5, not gray number 8. Let's go back and argue with it. Like, no.
You know, he's got his tester's, like, color sheet that he's looking checking.
It's like the old, I don't know. I'm sure the technology has improved, but just the old days of going to like Home Depot or whatever and Lowe's, they'd shake it up and you're like, nah, is it going to dry that way? Is it?
Let's go next to a type 2 star. I think it's the type 1 star we're next to that's changing the hue of this gray. I think it should have looked not like, you know, garish, but it should have had an alien look to it just in that little chunk. And I think that would have been interesting because then it's like a mark. It's a scar on the ship from its battle with the minefield.
Now, in obviously whatever series you want to say this is, but in a world of no shields, do we still have force fields for like during hull breaches?
Or blast doors? Yeah, I would say. I mean, I'm fine keeping internal force fields. It's more like on a ship level. Like, we just don't have the technology to generate that kind of a field around the ship. So it just has to take its beatings and get better.
And to get deep into the nerddom, especially TOS, you know, which invented everything. But even as we go throughout all the franchise, shields and deflectors, same, different.
No,
like
they're
deflectors
different.
At full.
I mean, they use them interchangeably, but they are different.
Yeah.
Deflectors are like when a ship is traveling and they are deflecting particles of space matter from colliding with the ship. Shields are in combat.
So but, I guess what's the, and again, it's all made up, but like what's the science in other properties? Like how are they able to go to light speed and not?
Again, I mean, you're really making me pull out a new technical manual for this universe I've created. I mean, I would just say that, again, the technology for deflectors and deflecting and going at, you know, fast and light speeds is still there. It's just we can't make a really powerful egg shield around our starship that will stop the energy beams, or it could be even more concussive weapons, you know, could be whatever, maybe torpedoes reign supreme. I could definitely see the Klingon. I hadn't even thought of other species, but like, yeah, Klingons could have, you know, these just fat, loaded birds of prey that just look like they ate 10 turkeys and, you know, are just so thick in armor. You can't really, like, you're looking at the viewport in the front and it's like way set back in this like overbrow where it's just so much armor.
In that world, the Borg have the best designed ships then, because they're just, keep everything, you know, here and get, you know, that. Everything is everywhere, and yeah, it's all. I mean, you can't really get to anything. Because you would think you'd.
I mean, even with shields, like, what do they say? Like, we could destroy 80% of this cube, and it would still function. We're like, dang. Yeah.
Man, the Borg were scary once upon a time.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying. Yeah. It's funny you say that, because I know that's from Q Who, or probably, you know, it's like one of the early days, maybe Best of Both Worlds. But like, you know, by Voyager, they're blowing up spheres left and right, you know.
We just need magic torpedoes. Like, boom, boom.
But yeah, and I think the Borg.
A sphere is going to come out of that little hole. If we shoot into that hole when the sphere comes out, we can. You know, Death Star this puppy and blow it up.
I don't know, so you see the Delta Flyer doing a run at the Borg cube.
It's big enough. I can see the curvature. I mean, I can see the sharpness of the corners from here. We're so close.
I think Borg is the ultimate fifth grade science experiment of how to protect the egg by throwing it off of whatever. Yeah. So it's like, how do you just keep building a cube of metal around the core?
And they're cube. Like, okay, if we have to repair our ships, how can we do it the most efficiently? Well, we just have no aesthetic design, and we literally build a cube.
And what about the aerodynamics? And that's the guy throwing out the
window.
We're
in space. It doesn't matter. And if we're going to land on a planet, the ecological devastation of a thing that mass coming in for landing is going to... You know, do our job for us.
But enough about Picard season one.
It also made me think about how this whole design thing. You wouldn't have, like, in Battlestar Galactica, the CIC is literally, you know, within the hull, just like within it. You would not have.
You would have a bridge on the top of
the most vulnerable spot.
With a glass
transparent aluminum.
You wouldn't
that. It's not the greatest. I think actually the Enterprise D did have a secondary bridge that was in the very middle of the saucer that they never used, but it was there.
The battle bridge technically is in the middle of the saucer.
But once you take the hat off, then it's on the top.
Yeah,
true.
On the top again.
No, so but I mean, I think there is one that's like a backup.
Is there?
There's a backup. There's a tertiary bridge? What?
It's just like Voyager's two warp cores. Like nobody
talks about
it. Nobody talks about it.
Listen, can I pull up that virtual Enterprise D and I can find this?
Oh yeah, the bridge tour. Click.
It's just give me 20 minutes to walk there. But I'm just looking for the.
Yeah, I mean, I am thinking about like starship design.
I thought there was, but maybe I think can't see
fever
it.
Dream.
Yeah, like the way that the Starfleet designs their ships would be kind of terrible. I mean, like you could cut off the cells.
There's a plane and a duck. But no secondary bridge that I could see. I thought there was, but.
Well, because again, I'm thinking back to the earliest day, which I know it's all retro, but if we have to accept this universe, the NX-01 has that, let's put the bridge on top in a very obvious place with very little shielding. Now, that's maybe naivete, like, what? Someone's going to attack us? That's never going to happen. We're all friendly. But I don't know. I guess. The Defiant, technically, I mean, the bridge is not in the nose, right? Because that's a
It is the highest point on the ship.
Though. It is, Is it still? It's flush with the top, but it's still the top.
Yeah. They should have done like that the TOS Defiant view of like there's a Defiant, and then you go into the top and see the bridge.
Oh,
and
assume
it that way. That would have been cool just once.
I mean, we're still debating on the scale of the Defiant. Like, is it 8 decks? Is it 4 decks? Like, how big is this thing?
Because then I'm thinking about the Romulans, because you know, their whole thing, obviously, is mystery and you know, da-da-da-da-da, which I think the Warbird does it in two ways. One, it looks really big, but if you actually did, like, what's the right word I'm looking for? Surface area? Like, it's not that big.
Or internal volume.
Yeah. I mean, like, there's all that space. Looks big, but it's not. It's fake. But I also love that, like, in a world of no shields, like, where are you firing on that Warbird? Because you have that big surface area. Like, you know, it's hard to just do in an audio medium. But, like, those wings.
Right.
Where's the vital part? Do you hit the big nose part? Is it wing part?
I think technically it'd be, like, the top spine. Because I think that's where the actual warp core is all. There's a lot of stuff along the top.
Or can the Romulan helmsman do it so like the torpedo goes in between?
Torpedo comes out the front, but yeah, I know.
No, when it's getting fired at.
No, like he's dodging. He's doing some fancy dodges.
Yeah.
What I would think would be a weak spot in that scenario would be the very small bridges that connect the wing to the rest of
it. Yeah, the pylons.
Yeah.
Maybe that's their separation sequence, and it turns into three parts. The nose kicks out, and then the two wings.
Yeah, it's the Romulan multi-vector assault mode, and they're like, okay, now let's rejoin the ship. We can't put it back.
It's together. A one-time.
I told you not to push the button.
But glory to the Empire.
Activate the Mega 13, the Romulan.
Perhaps in a different world, we could have been friends.
Together. Yeah, no, and like you said, you know, having the bridge on the top, you know, doesn't really bode well for concussive weaponry. Although the motion picture, like the refit, utilizes that really well because you have this really cool docking hatch that they actually use, like on the back of the bridge. So it actually is kind of a function of being up so high, is you can actually, you know, plug into it. But
they dock in the back of the bridge. I don't remember that at all.
Yeah,
they do. It's the Vulcan ship.
Yeah,
the little docks from the side. But I think the Vulcan ship, you know, turns upside down.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't mean the motion picture. Well, it is the motion picture happens. But yeah, you have the Vulcan pod with the courier ship.
I must have fallen asleep.
Probably. All that to say is, yeah, it's just like good luck doing that with the Defiant.
You really kind of wouldn't want your command center accessible via
only anyone. If it's a trusted courier that you don't know who is there until you open the door.
That seems like you're asking.
That's a good
trouble.
Point. Yeah, it's like, oh no, sir, we've been invaded. Why? Well, you know, the other airlock 2 was occupied, so we just let them use airlock. Well, airlock 1 literally almost practically leads onto the bridge. Maybe we should have thought about that.
Now, in the sort of technological development or philosophy of Battlestar versus Star Trek and a shield versus no shield, now isn't Battlestar helped by the fighters? Like, I mean, the Battlestar itself is far away from fighting.
They technically are the fighters because they act as a screen to stop ordnance. And also, the Galactica has, like, a ton of guns because their purpose is to shoot down enemy torpedoes and ordnance, because if it gets through, it causes damage. There is no, you know, oh, our percentage went down. It's like, no, we lost a chunk of something.
Because I mean, so
that's true.
Is essentially a defensive because
it's a carrier.
It's a base.
It's like an aircraft carrier.
The fighters are offensive, and the only reason they have it so much is to just create a barrier of gunfire. Don't get near us.
Yeah, yeah. They have a ton, like a whole bunch of guns that shoot off of
suppressive
the top. So yeah, I guess you would have to maybe not have guns, but just more phaser turrets or something that. Like, or be like the Defiant, which often had no shields and just, you know,
well, so overpowered.
How many sparks can fly inside the bridge and we can still survive?
Are they firing bullets in Battlestar? I can't remember. Are they actual bullets? Are they actual like metal bullets?
Ammunition?
No, that's still phaser. What are you talking about? Battlestar?
In Battlestar.
In Battlestar.
Yeah, they're actual bullets, I think.
I think it's like they're tiny little rail guns, and they're
like space 50 cal.
So there is some sort of metal that's coming out of it. So I guess the question is,
it's not energy based. If that's what
you're asking. Remember it being
how's force acting
an
in a vacuum?
Issue with like was there ever an ammunition issue? I don't remember. Yeah.
Well, that was the first episode because the reason they went to the base in the miniseries, the beginning, was because they had resupply there.
That's true. They had like no missiles. They had no armament in the very beginning.
Right. But what I'm saying is like I don't remember like Starbuck being out and running out of bullets or that being a concern. I just don't remember. And I guess it's kind of wild since I've watched it. But
I think it was not a high concern, but I think it was always kind of present. Because,
where would you put it in that tiny ship? Where were all the? Because they're constantly shooting, shooting.
Well, it depends. It might be more like, I don't know if the Expanse does it this way, or maybe I just read an article. But like, one of the ways that, I know it's on the tip of my tongue. It's like a certain sci-fi franchise, but basically, their bullets are just rail guns with tiny, tiny pieces of ammo. So basically like, am I thinking of Mass Effect?
Probably. You could. Yeah. It might be. Yeah.
But basically where your ammo is a slug of certain material and the machine basically just like shaves off tiny little pieces and those get rapidly accelerated through an accelerator. And so it's basically like firing bullets, but they're itty bitty slivers of metal.
Right.
But because they're moving at, you know, super relativistic speeds, they cause damage like you're shooting a caliber bullet. So
faster the force, the more it's approaching a state of energy almost.
Yeah. So I'm guessing it's something like that with Galactica, where in the Vipers they have like little, they have to replace that. It is a finite resource to that point, but it is not like they have a giant drum of bullets that they have to shoot. That's just a guess. I don't think they really go into it a ton. It's just, oh, we're low on things.
I mean, where the Cylons getting their bullets, it works both.
They're robots. Those are robot bullets.
Yeah, so. I mean, and a lot of the...
That doesn't explain anything.
They're self-guided robot bullets.
It's a wizard. Wizard did it.
Well, and Galactica also is a little more missile-based. Like, obviously, they do use bullets, but it's more about the torpedoes.
And missiles grow on trees, so...
They got nukes, man.
Yeah. Well,
we don't have nukes. Why don't we have nukes?
No, I don't know.
We banned them after World War III.
Nuclear
weapons.
We didn't like anything from that century. We just don't want to deal with it at all.
To be fair, photon
glasses
and then quantum torpedoes are much, much more powerful than
they're quantum. Weapons.
That's why we don't have them.
But. Yeah. They're not powered by light like photon torpedoes.
That's not what photon means. You would also probably have, as we're round in third, you would probably also have a change in tactics, because if you have no shields and you could take critical damage after sustaining only a certain number of hits, you would probably posture yourself in a different way or try to stay farther away from your enemy. So a lot more maximum magnification in the discussions. But you would probably do your best to make sure. They don't get a firing solution on you, because that's very bad. Having a fire solution on you means something instead of just we're parked. I mean, Star Trek also does this about like, oh, we're 10,000 kilometers away. I'm like, really? Because it looks like you're about a kilometer at best away.
I mean, to be fair, I think TOS of all things does a good job. Now, I think it's because they don't how much they want to do for special effects. But I think it's always like, that ship is way over there. Like, it's not like we're this close.
That's true. You rarely see nose to nose.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make sense. You would never get that close.
And I think the tactics, and of course, I think it's because you had a lot of Navy guys on writing and acting on the show, but like, it's much more you know, naval tactics.
Two-dimensional thinking.
As far as, like, you know, you fire a torpedo way over there, like, no one's getting that close. This isn't ground warfare. Kind of like how it's treated a little more.
I don't know. Have you seen Balance of Terror? It doesn't feel very Navy to me. No, it does. It's completely submarine warfare. But.
Yes. And so I think, you know, and I think with TOS, not that – I don't want to say they're not continuity – that's not an adjective about it, but they kind of are, like, it, their shields are sort of like, it just takes one hit on the Enterprise. You know, it doesn't take a lot to mess up the Enterprise in TOS. They're not taking, like, hit after hit after hit after hit.
That's true. Well, you know, those old shields, maybe they could go warp 7 if that, for the speed of the ship.
It's a lot more maneuvering. It'll be like, we got a hit. Okay, you know, warp 3, 180 Mark 5.
Yeah. I mean, I think we've hit all the main shows. I think the only difference with, like, TNG is you could technically say that our internal volume is the same as the original Enterprise. We just put beefy amounts of armor around it, and now we're the size of a galaxy class.
We could throw a whole saucer at them, you know.
Like, we could, you know, or they could do more of the, let's detach the saucer. We're about to head into battle. We totally have time. Just wait. Okay, now we can come attack you. It's like, maybe that would happen.
But it would have been interesting. Well, I say it would have been interesting. I think it was. People may disagree. To see the saucer SEP used as it is. I mean, it is, I suppose, technically used the way it's supposed to in two episodes. Where it's like, put all the vital, well, right. Excuse me, the non-vital.
All the civilians.
Yeah, yeah. Into the saucer. You guys stay here. We'll go do the thing. Which, once or twice, they do it. But like,
we may need the energy from the saucer's impulse engines.
But, yeah. I mean, they should have been doing a whole lot more, I guess, when you really think about, like, I mean, there's times where they're literally going, like, we're going into war, you know, against the Romulans or Klingons. And, like, but they're going with their saucer, you know.
And Picard just doesn't like the battle bridge as much. We all know this. He wants his main bridge. Do we think we hit everything, Daniel? I'm trying to think if there's. I mean, we could talk New Trek, but why?
I'm just think for a moment. You're just turning on an episode of TNG. No explanation, no saucer the whole time. It's just the battle section the whole time. I mean, you know. And it's just like, oh, yeah, we left him.
Or
they can only use half the sets then.
Or that episode where, what's it called? Where, like, some of the main crew are in a runabout and they come back and the Enterprise is drifting, but it has no saucer. Like, that'd be terrifying. You're like, oh, my gosh, what happened? Where is half the ship? And then kind of like Picard said, like, when I left this ship, number one, it was in one piece. Please return it to me as thus.
And I mean, I know TNG couldn't have done this. I mean, it would have been like Voyager era to, like, I
specifically had stipulations that we could do that. No, I'm just,
but that the saucer is, like, on a planet, like, like, they show up and, like, where's the saucer? Like, oh, it's on,
it's Tharx 4. It's like, why are you orbiting this planet? Because the saucer's down below.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, it's true. I hadn't thought about, you know, in this context of having, you know, CG and more flexibility with the continuation of the ship of, yeah, doing more stuff with the saucer. Maybe the saucer gets blown up and then the next day we got a new saucer that comes, you
slight
know,
shade it's, of gray
it's being
number
towed
four.
By a nebula class or something like that.
It has
that.
A different name on it.
And the first episode, it's like, they're just, like, grinding off, removing,
like,
those panels.
It says USS Ares on the saucer, but on the barrel section, it says NCC-1701D. Like, we're working on it. We're getting it
I
done.
Wonder if they are interchangeable.
Yeah, they're trying to connect, and they're like, oh, okay, we got to move that. Docking latch 3 meters that way, and oh, it's not, and it's kind of like half hanging on. We're like, okay, well, this isn't working.
They get stopped by, like, the space police, like, your tag does not match your registration.
The turbolift cars, like, get to the separation plane. They have to get off and get on other turbolift cars because they're square. Instead of cylinders,
oh, no.
And then those
check. Oh, and those, no.
It's like, oh, you brought a square type.
There's like an, inch gap when you when you're walking between decks, and you're like,
it's like a ka-tunk.
Should we get a new one? Just hit it real hard. It'll be fine. It'll be fine.
So there's a new like vestibule in the neck where you have to like transfer between the turbo lift systems. It's like rail systems in America, where you have like the European rail and the different standards, where it's like, well, that's as far as our train can go because all the track after here is different.
Posters on metric and the paddle sections.
Why is this quarter so wide? Well, we use the same number. It's just feet instead of meters. Oh, gosh.
I know. It's like you have, because you like, if you remember, like, sort of season one Trek or TNG, sort of had like the motion or movie, TOS movie kind of corridors that were really tighter. And then we kind of open it up on the series. Could be like, well, that's the battle section, has the big roomy hotel. And the saucer's like, you're.
Even though it's massively bigger, it has tighter corridors for some reason. But the in between space is big. Mm-hmm. I'm just choking over square turbo lifts and round turbo lifts.
No, this is saucer model X6742R.
Look,
the R model is completely different from the base one.
It's the R model. They're like, we solved it. We made a special turbolift car so the round one fits into the square one and then continues on its journey.
We need a converter that you got to put it in and then you can.
the turbolift adapter. Do we have enough adapters on board?
There's like a middle section they have to put in between now that kind of.
Okay. So, yes, interchangeable saucers. Maybe it's not a thing. Maybe it's not a good idea. Or you could have like a battle saucer, where it's like, you know, we're going into
square.
War. Yeah, it's it's a triangle. It's pointed. Like,
oh, there you
like
go. A dagger. It's got a big blade at the end.
A blade, yeah. Well, because then, you know, why not? Because you could leave all the families and science and all that stuff behind and plug in your battle attachment and then. Yeah, now it's turning into a Megazord, but you know.
This is very battle bots, right? Which I'm going to use for the. Depends which enemy I'm fighting.
It goes to a space dock, and there's like a rotating carousel of saucers. Like, what do I need today? This is the first contact saucer, which is this weird torus shape. I don't know why.
It says welcome on top, you know.
or it's like Discovery and has like the gaps, you know, in the saucer. And they're like, why? I don't know. There's bridges. We need bridges in our. Spacecraft.
And then the Enterprise on one mission could be like there's another ship that's destroyed and the saucer escaped. So then they have to, you know, they leave the Enterprise saucer and take the other ship's saucer. So they're wearing a different hat for another episode.
Just send a baby Nebula that hasn't grown its saucer yet. It'll come over and plug in. That's how spaceships are made, born. No, it's not.
No, there's a New Vorderman City.
This saucer has been infected by an artificial intelligence. Just leave it. Just detach. Everyone grab your precious mementos before we separate.
Starships are like snails, you know, once they've outlived their saucer.
Where they get the new saucer and the decking system is just slightly different. So it's like 12 forward is Guinan's bar instead of 10 forward. I don't know why there's two more decks.
Or they just misnumbered it. There's like two deck 14s. There's the saucer deck 14.
No deck 13 battle station because 14. It's bad luck in the 24th century, you know. All right. I don't know exactly what we were talking about when we spiraled into interchangeable saucers. But if someone wanted to talk to you, Philip, about the battle triangular saucer, can you even call it a saucer if it's not round?
That's true.
Where would they find you?
They can find me at NC Public Servant.
And Daniel, if someone wanted to talk to you about how much DS9 would be damaged and maybe... its Art Nouveau method when it got reconstructed. Where would they find you?
They could find me at one of Dan. That is the number one, not the word.
And if someone wanted to talk to me about Enterprise, because, you know, I'll watch it again at some point, they can go to drscifi.com, DrSciFi. Well, I'm Darren Moser.
I'm Philip Gilfus.
I'm Daniel Brew.
Stranded here on City Alpha 3.